Blog Talk Radio.
Alrighty there, and so here's the deal. This is the last time, the last late Friday night that you've got to get in here and get your tires checked or an oil change or anything else like that. This is our last Friday night of the season. Next time the Frat House Sports Garage is open this late on a Friday night, it will be April of next year. Welcome into another Frat House Sports is Race Rib Motorsports Hour. Frat House might come to you here on October 7th. And, yeah, we got the garage open late because we're allegedly going to have a chase race number 4 tomorrow night down in Charlotte, down at Charlotte Motor Speedway. I suppose we're going to see how the weather cooperates. God knows it, from everything that I have seen, it has been pretty, pretty brutal up and down the Florida coast. And we know that the Hurricane Matthew is supposed to continue its way up the coast a bit. And, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. They went and they washed everything out today at Charlotte. Absolutely no activities going on in Charlotte today. I'm going to be perfectly honest. I find it difficult to believe they're going to be able to pull a race off tomorrow night. But maybe I'll be wrong. I certainly hope they do. But certainly, the way things are looking at this point right now, wouldn't surprise me. Anyhow, we're going to be talking about that race in Charlotte as we go into, I guess, really what you kind of call it, you know, because you break it up now. You break the chase up into segments. And so we're going into segment 2. 4 drivers have already been eliminated. We're going to talk about that here this evening. After that was following last week's chase race number 3 down in Dover International Speedway. Where I'm going to be honest with you. I had a little bit of a mixed feeling about the result of that. The ultimate outcome of that race. I mean, I didn't understand the point of it. But we'll talk about the fact that Martin Truex ran it out there and picked up his second win of segment 1. That's his second win in the chase, second win in 3 races, in what basically accounts as being a meaningless race. The way the chase is set up at this point, that's a meaningless win. And that's kind of why I sit back and I go, so what? Who cares? Anyhow, like I said, we'll talk about the field of 12 that we're left with now at this point after 4 drivers got, I guess, zipped. 4 drivers got zipped last week. and one of them that I think probably came as a little bit of a surprise is Kyle Larson. You know, Austin Dillon and Kyle Larson kind of swapped places there. I think a lot of people kind of thought that maybe Austin Dillon would have been the one on the outside looking in, but Austin Dillon is in. Kyle Larson is out. And so we'll be taking a look at the field of 12 as well. And we'll get into a couple of other things about the chase. Interesting report that came out this past week. You know, we're in our 3rd year of this chase format. And well, interesting report comes out that the drivers are quietly pushing for some format changes. And they're actually rather interesting format changes that they would like to see put into effect. And I'll be throwing that out there, that report out there, and we'll see what the rest of our panelists here this evening feel about that. We will be joined in here as we are on Friday evenings, on most Friday evenings anyhow so far this evening. We will be joined in here at about 7:30 or so by Christian Coley, of the editor and founder of the Motorsports News Source. Will be jumping in with us at about 7:30. We'll get his update on what's happening down in Xfinity, because that, you know, really, when it's, you know, I was thinking about it today, we've kind of probably misused Christian a little bit this season, because he really, really is an expert, really more on the whole Xfinity series, because those are the guys that he's down there dealing with more often than others. Excuse me. So we will get a little bit of an update on the Xfinity chase from Christian, and we'll also get his thoughts on what's happening up in the Sprint Cup series, as well as, well, other things as we move through the final seven races of the season. Hard to believe we're already here. We'll also get into our update on our own fantasy chase that's going on. There's only seven races remaining in our fantasy chase, and our own little kind of fun eat my dust little predicts we've been doing since race one way back at Daytona. All right, well, let me get one of my mechanics in here. I guess I'll find out here momentarily where the other one is. He's running late.
He's stuck at work, actually.
Uh-oh.
He just got home and had to jump right on a call for work. So he's going to try to get in when he can.
All right.
It's the unfortunate part of being in the world of IT when you're on call.
Oh, my God.
I've been there myself. So
didn't I say it just before we went on the air? He's kind of been – I've kind of gotten the sense from him in the past. I've gotten the sense that he's just been a little bit bowled over in the past couple of weeks, anyhow. But anyhow, Brandon, you're joining me here this evening, and here we go. We're heading into the second segment already. I got to be honest with you, it was a little bit difficult today to get my. I don't know if it's the distractions of the NFL season. I don't know if it's the distractions of the fact that we just opened up Major League Baseball playoff season. A little bit of a difficulty for myself getting into putting this particular program together for tonight. Maybe because we wiped everything out, you know, three races, and now we're kind of starting back at the beginning again. You know, we're here. Yeah, four drivers have been eliminated, but really nothing. The way they reset everything, there's no, there doesn't seem to be any sense of urgency. I guess maybe that's the way I would put it. Going into Charlotte, you know, we're going into race number four, but there doesn't seem to be that sense of urgency.
Well, it could just be because we just had a cut, you know, the cut race, and now we got three more till another cut, so. You know, nobody's on the watch list yet. You know, if one or two of these guys in the eight have bad race at Charlotte, then we're going to have somebody to talk about at the bottom who needs to do better, you know, the next two. So I think that's why there's a little less urgency, you know, in your mind for just this race. And you're probably right, because we don't know who's going to be on the I got to win this race to keep going list shortly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, this is a kind of a lull that, you know, you'll see here. And then, you know, I think, you know, when you get that last cut and you're down to the final, you know, four, you know, we went from 16 to 12. The next cut will get us to eight. And then the last one is the race before the, you know, the last race, before the last race. So, you know, I think you don't have time to, you know, stew on it for that one, because you just go from, you know, eight to four to one, you know, in two races, you know. So yeah, I think this one and maybe the next one, the first race after the cut, will kind of feel like, oh, well, yeah, I'm not sure who's struggling, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll see.
Yeah, the if you recall when we started the program last week, you know, that being a cut race, you know, I started the show out and I said that I was really, you know, I was really amped up for last week's because it is a cut race. And you're sitting there and you're going, oh, okay, now we're going to start. Now things are going to start to get interesting. And, you know, I'm anticipating that, you know, the four drivers that are kind of on the bubble, they're going to be driving like madmen, you know, driving like their hair is on fire. And as it turns out, that really didn't happen. You know, really, in some respects, poor Kyle Larson, he ends up with all kinds of car problems, and you know, he gets bounced out because there were mechanical issues.
Right.
But I kind of anticipated, you know that. See, so I'm actually looking at the schedule, and I'm going, well, okay, we got Charlotte here, Kansas by Kansas of next week. That's when it's, you know, now you're going to, it'll start amping back up again. And then that'll get, you'll start to feel that tension a little bit. What of this race this past week, though? When you got Martin Truex, and I want to talk about the whole Martin Truex Jr. kind of thing, because you know, I'm not a driver. I'm competitive like all of us. I'm everybody that, you know, is affiliated in one way or another with Frat House Sports. We're all very competitive people. We all want to win. But somehow or another, it just doesn't make sense to me. When it's designed the way that it is, why run out there and run 187 laps, lead 187 laps, and just dominate the race? Now, Truex led 187. Kyle led 102. You know, obviously I was rooting for Kyle. We had picked Kyle to win the race. Kyle didn't have a win so far in segment one. Not that a win was necessarily going to enhance his position. I don't think it, you know, it's not going to enhance it. You got Jimmy Johnson, who led 90 laps. So there were your lap leaders, Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Busch, and then Jimmy Johnson. What's the point of going out and winning a second race in a segment where it's irrelevant?
Well, there is a school of thought behind it, believe it or not, that when you try to quote unquote lay up, you know, just do what you want to do, you end up putting yourself in a worse position a lot of times, especially in, you know, we've heard this in other sports, but in auto racing, especially, is, you know, sometimes the best place to be is in front because you're kind of controlling the flow. You know, you're going to stay out of some other people's problems a lot of times. When you're the leader, the lap cars, you know, they're getting that blue, you know, let, you know, to flag to let the leader go by. You know, so it does, there is some pluses to being out in front. And here's the other problem you would run into with a guy like Martin Truex. You know, he's in no less competitive because he already got his pass into the next round. So, you know, he's not going to want to, you know, lay up and get a fifth or a top 10 just because he's already in. You know, that it doesn't really matter, you know, if anything, they can be more aggressive because they already got the insurance of, hey, we got to win. We're going no matter what. So let's go as hard as we can go. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I think there's a lot to be said for that as well. So, you know, I think that's why you see, why should they stop? You know, there's also the momentum factor. I mean, there's a lot to be said for that, you know, in all forms of sports. And, you know, we've seen it in football, the hot hand at the end, you know, barely squeaks in as a wild card, goes all the way to the Super Bowl. We've seen that before. That's not unheard of. So, there's a lot to be said for that in motorsports. So I think that's why you see them. Why let your foot off the pedal? You know,
mm-hmm.
You got sponsors you got to make happy, or maybe potential sponsors for next year. They're fielding a second team next year. They might have, you know, they may have a sponsor on the hook sitting in the stands you know, for that second car, you know, it doesn't hurt to have the first car go out and win in front of a sponsor. So there's a lot of reasons they, you know, they're going to go all out.
All right.
That's just a few.
Making sure that you can still hear me. You can still hear me, right? Cause
yeah,
things
yeah,
are
yeah
acting,
I got you.
Okay, good. Things are acting a little weird down here from my
perspective.
I got things that are spinning and what have you. I tried to mute myself for a second, and it's not allowing me to mute myself at all. It just sat and spun for the longest time. So I just tried to make sure we didn't have any issues like last night.
No, we're good.
Oh, God. Okay. And, you know, that's where I couch it by saying, look, I'm not I recognize that I'm a competitive person, and I guess I'd have to be placed into that kind of a position. I'd have to be placed there to recognize and understand that feeling of it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. I'm here to win a race, and I'm going to win it regardless. And I guess that would take over. I guess it would take over.
There's no way if you were the one driving or racing that you'd lay up. I just know you too well. You ain't letting your foot off the gas for anything. Just saying.
And that's a compliment.
That's not a diss or anything. That's just, you know, the way you are.
Yeah, that's probably true.
We've talked about, you know, other sports where they've had reason to maybe not win or lay up or rest their starters because they're in the playoffs for football. And you're always like, that's BS. Go out and play. I don't see you getting behind any of this laying up stuff. Just saying.
Well, all right. You're probably absolutely right. I'm thinking about it, and I guess it really doesn't matter at this point because, you know, I'm looking at the standings and I'm saying, okay, wait, Martin Truex is sitting up at number one. Kyle Busch is at number three. All right. Matt Kenseth is four. So you got Joe Gibbs at three and four. You got Denny Hamlin, who's Joe Gibbs, at nine. You got Carl Edwards at 10. The only one that was really within, at any given time, within striking distance of Martin Truex was Kyle Busch. But, I'm thinking to myself, you know, I guess it doesn't matter. Kyle Busch wouldn't be necessarily perturbed at the fact that, hey, man, we've been helping your team out. You couldn't lay off a little bit and let me run things.
He don't want to win it that way either. Come on now. You don't want to, when you're racing, whether I don't care if you're racing, you know, NASCAR, or if you're racing tricycles around, you know, a parking lot somewhere, you don't want to win by somebody letting you win. That ain't winning. You know what I mean? That isn't what you want. Kyle wouldn't want him to lay over either. I could almost guarantee you that. So, you know, I think everybody did what they were supposed to do. And
yeah.
I think Truex went out there, he ran hard, did a good race, won, you know, did right by his sponsors, did right by his team who works hard. You know, they prepare that car no less, you know, than they would for any other race. So why would they, you know, not go after the win? I mean, I get, you got to imagine all the prep time, how many different team members are involved with getting a car ready. You don't want to not go out and do your best. It'd be different if it was and it's hard to say this at the cup level of NASCAR, but say you're racing, you know, a local series and you're strapped for money, you know, and maybe you got everything, you know, you need to advance and whatever, locked up, maybe you do go easy, save a set or two of tires, maybe save an engine or run an engine that isn't as strong just to get through, you know, if it's a money issue. But at this level, that's not an issue. You know what I mean? There's no reason for that team to save anything. That team's won You know, there's people talking championships with this team. They're saying since, you know, Truex and Cole Pern got together, they got a great chemistry. You know, they're saying they could be on the level of Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knauss. You know, I don't know if that's true yet, but, you know, certainly got something going in the right direction. So,
well, and
you know,
I made that point, you know, during the race the other day, Brandon, if you recall, you know, I said, you know, after he won this,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you look at this and you go, second race in three in the chase. I think it's what, his fourth race? I think that's his fourth win of the season. It is. That's his fourth win of the season. You almost have to give the nod at this point right now to Martin Truex Jr. as being the favorite, the favorite. I mean, head and shoulders basically above all others at this moment, the favorite to win the whole thing.
Yeah, I would agree.
That's what it seems to me. I mean, I can't think of. I mean, as much as I might like to say, well, yeah, I think it'd be great if Kyle were to repeat. You know, I think it'd be great if Carl Edwards were to, you know, somehow or another show up out of nowhere and win, you know, rip off a couple of wins here in the chase. But honest to God, I really don't know if there's any. And wow, what a story that is for Furniture Row. I mean, we were talking about this a little bit on last Sunday morning show. What a tremendous story this is for that team. You know, I read a great little article. I sent it over to everybody in the outline. And I don't know if we'll get into all the details of it this evening here. But a great little article about how the, I guess, spokesman or whomever for Toyota Racing Development is just flabbergasted at what has, you know, the transformation that has taken place with Furniture Row. And how they were there, you know, TRG was there, you know, at Victory Lane last week. And, you know, he was telling about his experience being there with that Furniture Row team. And this was their second win in 3 weeks. And, I mean, it really is an absolutely incredible, incredible story for Martin Truex Jr., for Furniture Row. It's a great story. I mean, you know, I almost find myself wanting to say, okay, from this point forward, I am absolutely going to root for Martin Truex to win the whole thing outright through to the end. I'm almost tempted to do that. I might yet, but it's a great story.
I might agree with you. You know, bring it on. I'd love to see them win at this point. You know, part of me probably still rooting for Kevin Harvick, because he, you know, I like Kevin Harvick a bit because he you know, kind of took over when Earnhardt Sr. had his problems and stuff, but, you know, and passed on, and, you know, he was the, you know, the heir apparent at the time. So, you know, I always kind of root for him. I still always take a little look at the three car. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Austin Dillon personally. I mean, you know, I'd like to see the Childress team in general do well. Which maybe they'll, you know, move it. I think they're moving on from Newman at this point, so we'll get rid of Newman out of that 31 car, and maybe that'll help them a little. But, you know, I'd like to see them, you know, as a whole do well. So, yeah, there's certain guys, you know, that you like. I mean, obviously, I would consider myself a Dale Jr. fan. He's not racing, so, you know, I got to root for others. And that's kind of the order I go in from there. So, but, you know, as far as good story goes, there's no doubt, you know, Truex to me has the best story for sure.
Yep.
Like a rags to riches kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. It's yeah. Right. There's something richly Americana about it, isn't there?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, you know, it's a good story.
At the risk of sounding sappy, I mean, that's exactly where I was kind of going with it, I suppose. Now, you know, taking a look at the Chase leaderboard, four drivers were removed from Chase contention. And, you know, no big surprises, I suppose. Jamie McMurray, Chris Buescher, Tony Stewart, unfortunately. But Kyle Larson then. And then, as I pointed out, Austin Dillon, who was in that group of four going into last week's race, Austin Dillon and Kyle Larson kind of swapped places as a result of that. So at this point right now, our field of 12 shakes down this way. And are these base? I don't know how they're. Are they this? This is right from the NASCAR. This is right from the NASCAR page. So I'm not quite sure how they're ranking them because everybody's got the same number of points. So I'm not sure how they're ranking them, but they've got it numbered. Truex is one. Harvick, Kyle Busch, Kenseth, Logano, Elliott, Keselowski, Kurt Busch, Denny Hamlin, Carl Edwards, Jimmy Johnson, Austin Dillon. Now, we're going into segment two for a moment. Let's handicap this. Who, in your mind, are the next four to get cut out of here following Chase Race 6?
Well, rather than say who's going to go, why don't we do it the other way? Let's go the positive route and say who goes forward, because right now you can't take anything away from Truex and the Gibbs cars. They're clearly the cream of the crop. Odds are all five ain't going through. Somebody's going to have a problem where they get in an accident, a tire, an engine. Okay. Something's going to happen. So, you know, you got to like Truex. You got to like Kyle. You got to like, you know, the others. But, you know, one of them's going to have a problem. You got to like Kevin Harvick. Kevin Harvick, you know, had won during the first segment. He's running well. He has some good tracks coming up as well for him. So, you know, he's on the pole for this week at Charlotte. He's won, as we were talking pre-show, three times at Charlotte. So, you know, you got to like his chances of moving forward. Guys, you got to maybe watch. I mean, Kurt Busch has not really been anywhere recently. Austin Dillon in the three car has actually been running better. I don't know if they're good enough to make the final eight, but, you know, they might be on the border. So, you know, those are some of the stuff I see, you know, at this round. Jimmy Johnson, you know, he has some strong tracks coming up. He's probably going to be the sole Hendrick car left. Maybe he'll be the one. Maybe he'll make the top eight. So, you know, there's quite a few to watch. A lot of angles. I would absolutely be stunned if five of the eight cars are the Gibbs four and Truex.
And Truex,
Odds are he's one or two of them is going to have an issue or something that will prevent them from, you know, moving on.
Okay, so let's do this for fun, because we're sitting here on the eve of, and I'm not holding you to this, and nobody's gonna you know, you're not gonna hold me to it. But let's use your premise there for a moment. Let's start eliminating four just for the fun of it, and let's see how it goes. And we'll do this one together. If in fact that there's going to be one of those five eliminated, who's most likely? I say Carl Edwards.
Carl Edwards. See, Carl Edwards to me is more consistent. I would go along the lines of the 20 or the 11. I think those two would be the two I'd watch, you know, as having an issue. So if I have to pick one, let's say I'll go 20. I'll say he has some problems somewhere and ends up getting eliminated.
Interesting. All right. So let's see.
Maybe two of them, possibly.
All right, well, we'll stick with one for a moment. All right, I'm going to say Carl Edwards, and I'll tell you, my thinking on not eliminating Matt Kenseth is that he's got more experience at more of these tracks than the other two. So that's why I would say Carl Edwards. All right.
Yeah, but he also has – he always seems to get himself into situations. Yeah, and he gets stubborn. Him and Joey Logano last year just got out of control. You know, it really did. And it cost him.
Oh, you're talking
and
about
Logano.
Kansas. You're talking about Kansas. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And my argument for Carl Edwards is that I really like Carl, but I think sometimes I think Carl is too nice a guy to be in a playoff.
That could be a legit point, but at the same time, you know, that nice guy isn't pissing people on the track off who want to take him out.
I hear you, but he also doesn't have the drive.
Correct.
You know,
you can make the argument either way, for sure.
To go out and win two races in one segment when he doesn't need the second race, you know? All right, that's why I'm sticking with Carl Edwards. Okay, now let's move on real quick. I'm saying Carl Edwards, you're going to say Kenseth. All right, I'll throw another name in there. Okay, Austin Dillon doesn't see eight. He doesn't make the field of eight.
I don't know. I'm looking through the list. Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at guys who have been doing well lately, and of the what you would consider long shots, and maybe only by their age, Austin Dillon and Chase Elliott have been running really good lately, and I kind of like the momentum. So you know, you know who I'd worry about. I'm not saying that he's definitely going to make it, but if I had a pick today, I say yes, Austin Dillon makes it.
Wow.
Just saying. I would think, Joey Logano to me has not been doing much lately. And he tends to find himself, he gets in over his head driving, you know, wrecks a car here and there. You know, he'd be a candidate to leave. And like I said, Kurt Busch hasn't been doing much lately. I don't know that he makes it. So, my four that probably don't make it would probably be Logano, Kurt Busch, Kenseth, and maybe one of the other Gibbs cars if they have problems. That's probably where I'd go.
Maybe Hamlin.
Maybe Hamlin. Maybe like you said, Carl, you know, Carl Edwards, he could have an issue. See, because right now all 12 are even. Nobody has bonus points. So, yes, NASCAR probably ranked them how they finished, and that's the way they appear on the website, and that's all well and good. But that means absolute jack. The second they throw the green flag, whoever qualified above the other guy is going to be above them as they run now. So, essentially, when they throw the green flag, Harvick's in first, not second. And, you know, Kyle and Chase would be tied for fourth, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they both be listed in fourth. How can they both be starting fourth?
I've got it as I've been doing with things with you and I recently. I've got it written down just for
who would your four be? Who are your four
going?
Dillon. You said Kenseth.
Yep.
You said Edwards, not Kenseth.
Edwards.
I said Kenseth.
Edwards.
Right.
Dillon. Right. Now I'm going to shock you here for a moment. I'm going to throw a name at you that you're going to sit there and go what? But I'm telling you. I'm putting Jimmy Johnson in that group. He's not going to make eight.
I'm not shocked by that. I would go with
Chase Elliott
over him.
Yeah, exactly. I think Chase Elliott, I think that team, that car, and Chase himself, they have been far better performance-wise this season from what I have seen than Jimmy Johnson. And I don't think Johnson gets out of this round. And I would put Logano in there as well. So there are my four. All right.
No, we have some similarities and some differences.
Yeah, I've got.
Four, I got to put Edwards in there too. So we got Edwards and Logano in common.
Well, I got you down. I got you down for Hamlin / Edwards. That's how I had it because you had said Hamlin.
Well,
you said
Edwards
could have been.
If you want me to pick, I'll pick Edwards. I say Hamlin will make it, and only because I know traditionally at this race at Charlotte. Denny Hamlin runs really well at Charlotte, so I see him getting off to a good start. Denny Hamlin will probably end up, he's starting ninth, he'll probably end up, you know, a top five finish, you know, and he'll be in a good position moving forward. Who knows, he could win the race. You know, Denny Hamlin really runs well at Charlotte. So, you know, that's not generally a track where he has an issue. So that's why I would stay away from Hamlin. I think Hamlin makes it. So by default, if I'm going to go with my thinking that all five Gibbs and Furniture Row cars ain't going forward, that leaves Carl Edwards by default. Because I think Kyle Busch is running pretty well. I think, Truex is the hottest guy in the circuit right now, obviously.
Yep.
So,
yep.
You know.
Well, interesting. I'll be curious to hear Sidekick's handicapping. All right, let me do this because obviously, I mean, you know, we don't know whether we're going to get Sidekick or not here this evening, but I'll tell you what we do. We do have Christian Coley with us. So let me get Christian in with us for a couple of moments.
Sure.
Or for a little bit here from editor and founder of the Motorsports News Source. Christian, how are you tonight? How are we doing? It's been a couple of weeks since we talked.
Doing pretty good tonight, watching some baseball and talking NASCAR.
Yep, yep, absolutely. Which game you watching there?
Washington Nationals and the Los Angeles Dodgers.
You got somebody you're rooting for?
Nationals are my favorite.
Is that right? Okay, all right.
Correct.
I'm sitting over here liking the numbers I'm seeing right now. But that's only because I'm a Phillies guy. So I'm kind of liking what I'm seeing from Los Angeles. I'll tell you something. I don't know if you've been following that American League series, but boy, oh boy, Toronto has put
it
on. My goodness. I cannot believe they have taken the first two from Texas in Texas. Wow. Holy smokes. All right. Anyhow, we'll talk. We'll save that. We'll save that for a different program. What have you been up to? You've been telling me that you've been, doing a little bit of work with this group and this team and that team. And what have you been up to the past couple of weeks?
I've been doing a lot of work recently with the Motorsports group with Josh Wise and the 30 team in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. We've been doing a lot of work with them recently, helping promote them, and they're really returning the favor to help us out. And then we're helping a few Xfinity teams while we're at it.
And what exactly have you been doing with the Wise group?
We've been basically doing an article every week. We do the previews, mm-hmm. and you'll see a lot of the Cup teams doing these. And we're basically doing a preview every week about how Josh will run. And, of course, this weekend, tomorrow night, Josh Wise will make his 100th start for TMG ever in NASCAR. That includes the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series. So that's a big stat that I don't think very many people knew. And so we've been doing that since about 2 weeks ago.
Mhm. All right, real good. Let's talk for a moment. Let me get your thoughts on. Well, first of all, let me ask you this: Do you think there's going to be a race tomorrow night?
I don't know why they canceled the Xfinity race all the way till Sunday. I mean, I think we'll get a race. I think we'll have a race tomorrow. I mean, the weather, the forecast, and everything is saying tomorrow is supposed to be clear, and so
okay.
Sunday is supposed to be clear. But those forecasts have changed a lot, and, well, I mean, meteorologists don't really know what to expect. I mean, this hurricane could do anything it wanted, so we'll just have to see, wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
I personally
All
think
right.
we will get a race in tomorrow.
Okay. All right. I hope we do. I mean, that's, I came on the air, I said, you know, I don't know whether we're going to get this one in, but I certainly hope that we do.
There is somebody going to be calling you here in a few seconds.
Yeah. Okay. All right. No problem. We'll get them on the line when I see it jump up here. The wanted to ask you real quick because and I started out the program. I said I started out by saying it seems to me. I mean, you know, so many. It seems to me your kind of background and we're a little bit shy on this. I got to be honest with you. We follow. I know Brandon follows it all. But I think for the most part, our program here is really geared more towards the Sprint Cup series. I follow Sprint Cup almost exclusively. You know, I look in every once in a while on what's happening over in Xfinity. I know Brandon follows it a little bit more, but it seems to me you follow what's going on down in Xfinity. They're in their own chase down there as well. give us a little bit of an update on what you see coming out of the Xfinity chase right now.
It's really taking a turn for the interesting side. The two drivers who were really the favorites to win the championship this year are now sitting on the outside looking in, and I think both of them are in kind of a must-win situation Saturday night or Sunday afternoon. Ty Dillon and Eric Jones are both sitting on the outside looking in, and those two were the ones that really everybody thought would be the contenders up there with Elliott Sadler, and at the moment they may not make the next round. And there's drivers like Ryan Sieg, who drives an under, or who has a car that has very few people that work on the car, and you've got Blake Koch, who is in the startup team this season, and those two teams could make the chase or make the next round of the chase, while some of the biggest teams in NASCAR could go home or
wow.
end their championship hopes.
Wow. Now, explain to me real quick, because I think we were talking a little bit about this the other last Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, all of us here on the program. How many races are in their chase?
There is, let's see. I think there's four left. Three.
Well, that's all.
So we got Sunday's race. Then they go to Kansas. They skip Talladega. They skip Talladega, they skip Martinsville, and then they go to Texas and then Phoenix, and it all ends in Homestead, which is the race where no Cup regulars will be allowed.
Right. You're right. I think that sounds like four, right? Is that four?
Yes.
Okay.
This is the first round, then the next round, and then the final round will be four. It goes from 12 to 8, 8 to 4, and then the final four will go down to one.
So when do they cut to eight? After this race coming up?
After tomorrow, Sunday's race, it will cut to eight.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Okay. Right now, NASCAR is showing Daniel Suarez up at the top, followed by Elliott Sadler, Justin Allgaier, who, you know, Brandon and I were just sitting here real quick, and we were kind of handicapping the Sprint Cup Series. And who might be the four that are cut out of there by race eight? Who do you think is going to get cut after tomorrow's race?
I personally think after tomorrow's race, what do you mean tomorrow's race? Do you mean in the Cup Series or the Xfinity Series race?
In the Xfinity Series, I guess on Sunday.
Xfinity's will be Sunday afternoon, yes.
Yeah.
11 a.m.
Right.
I personally feel Eric Jones will win the race on Sunday afternoon and move on to the next round. I think Ty Dillon will be eliminated. Brandon Jones will be eliminated. I hate bringing up Ryan Sieg, but Sieg is kind of in a boat at the moment, and he's going to have to swim. I mean, he's still kicking, but Sieg will probably be one, and I would almost see Brennan Poole being eliminated.
Boy. All right. Interesting stuff. That'll cut in on his Oreo consumption then. He won't be able to be eating as many Oreos. Yeah, USA Today had to do a whole thing on the fact that Brennan Poole is a big Oreo nut. He's got to have Oreos before. You think it was a slow week? You think it was a slow week in NASCAR news?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was a slow week in NASCAR news. USA Today is doing an expose on Brennan Poole having to have Oreos pre-race.
Well, with no people failing, we didn't have very much to report about. I saw somebody report that Brennan Poole also plays with Legos.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I saw that one also.
What kind of hot chocolate does he like? Oh, man alive. Let's get a caller in here. We got a caller on the line. I think you know this guy, Christian, so we'll take your word for it that he's trustworthy. Let's get is this Mike?
It is. How you guys?
Real good, man. How are you? Thanks for calling Fred House Sports' Race Trip Motorsports Hour. What's on your mind?
Oh, not much, man. I just wanted to call in. Kristen sent me the link earlier. He is actually working with us. I'm the PR director for TMG and Josh Wise Motorsports. I also represent now Jordan Anderson and a super nice guy, a couple young racers, Cody Lane, that's coming up. So, yeah, Kristen does a great job. He's been writing the last couple weeks, kind of like our preview, and trying to help the little guys out in the Cup Series. And so we appreciate everything he's done. And I'm listening to the show for the first time, and I absolutely love it, guys. You do a great job.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, a lot of times we fake it very, very well here, Mike. I got to tell you.
Well, see, Josh and I, we always have a saying. It's like, image means everything. Sometimes you have to fake it till you make it. So, you know, that's part of it.
Well, since I got you here for a couple of moments, talk to us a little bit about, since you're working with Josh Weiss, talk to us a little bit about Josh Weiss also. Because, I mean, this is a guy that's, you know, we see him in the lineup every week, and he would be what we call, I guess, here. And look, let's get it straight. This is the phraseology we use here at Brad House Sports. We would call him a backmarker. Talk to us about Josh Weiss and why should we be keeping our eye on this guy.
Well, Josh, first of all, has a tremendous amount of talent. And I'll tell you a quick little story about Josh. Josh is from California, was courted by Tony Stewart back in the early 2000s to come run sprint cars for him. So Tony hired him, moved him to Indiana. They were racing sprint cars, winning races left and right. And around 2004 or 5, Tony said, okay, Josh, it's time for you to take the next step. And Josh said, what's that? He says, race stock cars. He says, no, I'm okay. And so he says, I kind of want to deal, every kid's dream to run sprint cars. He wants to run the Indianapolis 500. And Tony says, well, look, everyone's heading towards stock cars. That's where it's at. He's like, nah, I want to keep running the sprint car circuit. Well, a few weeks after that, he had a pretty bad crash. So he said the next morning, he said, I woke up pretty sore, couldn't move my neck. And I called Tony and he said, how does the stock car thing work for you? So he flew him down to Charlotte. Obviously, he's driven for Junior Motorsports, split half a season when Danica was there, has run for Front Row Motorsports. Josh has a lot of talent. Unfortunately, what he's been a victim of is, unfortunately, what is in the sport now is money. Drivers come now with the money. They come to sponsorships. If you don't have that, it's hard to find a ride. TMG is a car. The guys, I will tell you, not just because I work with them, but they are absolutely a hardworking crew. We're racing really against a very minor budget compared to teams that have millions of dollars and roll in every week with hundreds of thousands of dollars. So the thing is, we're there. We are competing. It was a shame. We actually had a decent car at Dover, which is my home track, and we dropped a valve about halfway through. So, you know, it's tough, but we love it. And, you know, like every other team, as I kind of look at us, you know, Furniture Row, when they first started, no one ever talked about Furniture Row in that 78 car. They were a 30th place car every week, the 32nd. And now you look at what that group has done. So I think it's achievable once you get the right people and get the budget.
You know, it's interesting because when Christian first brought Josh Wise's name up to me, and of course, like I said, you know, we as NASCAR fans and as people that talk about NASCAR on a weekly basis here, you know, we're familiar with the name. But we're familiar with the name as the guy in the back. You know, he's one of the guys in the back. Of course, he's, you know, we're more familiar with him this year because his name's, you know, much more prevalent this year. But one of the things that struck me when I started doing a little research on him after Christian brought his name up to me was I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, boy, oh boy, this isn't your stereotypical backmarker. This guy's 33 years old. He's been driving for a while. He's got a little bit of a career to him that nobody knows about. It's very, very interesting because, you know, we're so used to seeing, you know, it's the young guys that are in the back of the field. You know, it's those are the guys that are in the you know, as Christian likes to talk about, you know, the lower budget teams that are trying to make it up. This guy's been around the motorsport circuit a little bit.
Yeah, and you know, if you look back a few years ago when David Ragan won at Talladega with Front Row, well, Josh was the third car in that team, and they lined up on the restart. I think it was first, second, and third or fourth, and Josh had a mechanical problem. Or you never know how that plays out at the end of the race, you know. And a couple other things that Josh, that I'll tell you about, the man is a lot of people don't know this about Josh either. He's actually an Ironman athlete. He's actually qualified for the world championship. He's actually won a couple of the half Ironman. So I said, you know, he's the only guy, he gets out of a race car after 3.5 hours, and most guys are wanting a drink or a cold towel. He's talking about, let me go run 10 miles. So, you know, he's always very focused, very into, you know, being in shape. Like, I didn't realize what the Ironman, you know, detailed. And he finally told me it's one day activity of 2.5 miles of swimming, 112 miles of biking, and a nice little 26 mile run.
So, wait a minute. 100. So he runs a marathon as well as.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. It was funny because, last week at Dover after, practice on Friday, of course, qualifying got rained out again, as it seems to every week anymore. I was so happy to get it in last night, but you know, we're at the racetrack all day and he's like, you know what? Take me to the Y. I got to go swim. And I forget how many laps or whatever he swam last week, but yeah, he's very much into fitness. Matter of fact, he has trained Trevor Bayne and Landon Castle, who are now doing Ironman events now, and Josh has been their trainer. So he not only is he a race car driver, but he's very much into being in shape and, you know, athletics type. So, you know, like I said, I think with the break, and we're working on some stuff for 2017, that I think if everything falls in line, I don't think you're going to be mentioning him, you know, in the back. I think Josh can, we definitely know he can run up front. So I think with some things fall together for 2017, we're going to have a lot of stuff to talk about.
That is fascinating. So, you know, beginning on the front end, you're telling me that Tony Stewart was kind of was kind of a mentor to him. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. He drove for Tony in sprint cars. Yeah.
But you know, with his Ironman thing, well, he's not anything like Tony.
Well, let's say like Tony and him going for a run together after practice.
I was gonna say he's more like Carl Edwards, right?
It's so funny because so many of these drivers now, you know, because it's all about, you know, focus and being in shape, that a lot of the younger drivers coming in are coming to Josh and are like, hey, what are you doing Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays? Let's train. Let's, you know, go for a run. I mean, like, you know, he told a really funny story about, yeah, I rode my bike over to Matt Kenseth's house the other day. I'm like, oh, cool. He's like, yeah, it's like 22 miles away. I'm like, oh, I thought maybe just down the street. But, okay, 22 miles, that's a little crazy. But, no, he really takes his training and his fitness very serious. You know, he's one of the really good guys in the sport. And, you know, like I said, hopefully if everything falls together, what we're looking for 2017 should be a very interesting year for him and, you know, moving on and getting his career where we need to have it.
Well, and now it sounds to me like you'd be the guy I should be talking to get Josh Wise on our Thursday night program as a guest on our Frat House Sports Show, which is an all sports program that we've been running here for over 5 years.
Absolutely. And Josh would absolutely love that.
All right. Well, I think I've got your number here. So I'm going to be getting in touch with you. And what I want to do is get him on a Thursday night program. I know he wouldn't be able to join us on a Sunday morning because his next couple of Sunday mornings are going to be tied up, I think. I'm not going to be able to get him on. I'm not going to be able to get him on one of these, but I could get him on our Frat House Sports Show, which is a much bigger platform because that goes out to all sports fans, not just racing fans. So, yeah, I'd love to have Josh on. That would be, I think that would be fantastic.
Well, and he would love to. And like I said, so you've got my number. So give me a shout out and I'll be more than glad to set it up for you. And, you know, we'll get him on here and you guys can interview him. And like I said, he is really a down to earth guy. I think that's kind of how, why him and I get along so well is he's just a regular guy that drives a race car. So it's really, he's a cool guy.
Well, I'll tell you a little secret, and I'm not blowing smoke, but this is absolutely true. I do have Josh on my fantasy team for this week. So,
well,
you know,
here's how we look at it every week. You know, we go into a race knowing that, okay, we know who we're racing against. And I'll be honest with you, most of the time, we don't have a sponsor on the car, you know, we're working on that. We've had a couple good relationships this year that we hope expand into 2017. So we know going to the racetrack, you know, we're racing against budgets, even smaller budgets that are $4-6 million a year, and we're outrunning them. And yeah, a lot of that just has to do with the talent that we had behind the wheel and the hardworking guys in the garage. So, you know, we know if we get an opportunity to showcase, we can do something. And that's where, you know, we were, our goals for 2017. Let's showcase his talents.
Mike, let me give you this opportunity for anybody that might be out there listening real quick before I let you go. And
sure,
I've done this for Christian on a number of occasions with other drivers that he's come on here with. If anybody wants to help out with your team, and I know that even Christian has said, you know, a lot of times people think that it's going to be astronomical amounts of money, but really it can be done, and it can be done at a very, very affordable way, in a very affordable way. How would anybody get in touch with the Motorsports Group or yourself or the Josh Wise team?
Basically, I'll just give them my phone number. That's the easiest way to get a hold of me. I handle both. So any sponsorship comes through me. And my phone number is area code 302-379-3332. It's on 24/7. And you're right, what they'll find, we have very affordable packages that you can get on a Sprint Cup Series car and get your business seen.
There you go. Mike Dubb, appreciate you jumping on with us here, kind of extemporaneously, for a couple of minutes.
Absolutely.
It's been a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
It has. You've got a Friday night listener now.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. You have a Twitter account, do you?
I do, absolutely. It's my Twitter's pretty easy. It's ndubb55. Yeah, ndubb55.
You got it, man. Mike Dubb, joining us from the Motorsports Group and the Josh Wise team. Thank you very much, Mike. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, guys. Have a great night. Thank you.
Take care now. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, there, Christian. That was very nice. That was great stuff.
No problem.
I hope you didn't want to get a word in.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to doing more work with them this year. It's been fun. It's enjoyable to work with them. They're great people, and they're great down to earth people. And I think they noticed the same thing I'm noticing, is that really all I need next year is I need a shot at something big or something small. It doesn't matter if it's big, small, medium. I need the shot to show people what I have, and that team has really given me the chance this year to do the stuff I do for them. So,
well, that's awesome. That is absolutely awesome. And this in no way was any of this planned. I'm bringing Christian on. I'm bringing Christian on tonight, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, something we haven't had Christian on in a couple of weeks, and Let's get an update on what you're doing. And this was not in the outline. In fact, we're way off the outline at this point.
And we'll be doing Talladega here in a few weeks. That's our next race.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
So,
yep, that comes up on October 23rd.
Third.
So And we've only got about 30 minutes remaining here in the show. If anybody wants to jump in with us, 347-826-9964. That's how you can get a hold of us here.
That was a great call, though, from like I actually learned a lot. I mean, I knew Josh Wise did something because I think I saw an article or a story where him and one of the other guys he mentioned were running together in some kind of race. So I knew he was involved, you know, with, you know, some kind of working out type, you know, racing, you know, running racing, not, you know, car racing. And I had no idea that 30 team was such an underfunded team because that car does, as he pointed out, they actually do run really well. They outrun other cars that have sponsors on them. So,
and they're also unchartered.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
That car, does not embarrass itself at the track at all. You know,
no.
As far as, you know, Fred Osmike brought up that he puts him on his fantasy team and, you know, the way the NASCAR, you know, fantasy league thing works, sometimes you gotta, you know, you only have, you know, a few dollars, you know, is always a smart, you know, buy if you're, you know, filling out your roster. So that was a lot of good information. I really like that. I'm going to be keeping an eye on that car more on
absolutely
Saturday or Sundays as we go through the rest of the season.
And you can yeah. catch them on my blog every week.
Now, he's not running – Josh Wise, if I'm not mistaken, is only running Sprint Cup. Is that right, Christian?
He is running some Xfinity Series races.
Oh, he is. Okay. All right.
He ran the double last weekend. He had engine issues and also the Xfinity Series race also. And as far as I've heard, he will be running the Xfinity Series race next weekend in Kansas.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, because I thought he was only exclusively Sprint Cup, but very good. Appreciate
and he raced
that.
His first he raced his first truck race at New Hampshire a few weeks ago since like 2007, I think was the year.
Mm-hmm.
So
all right.
He's been doing more.
Well, that was very good. I appreciate as I point out, that was wholly and completely extemporaneous.
Spontaneous.
Spontaneous, and I appreciate it. I think that went very, very well. And I you know, listen, I always hope that there's some, you know, errant, able-bodied individual that's out there listening that, you know, takes somebody up on this and listens to it and says, you know what, I got a little business over here and maybe it might not be a bad move. Let's see if I can get anything out of this. And they follow through on it. So we'll put up Josh's information and Mike's information as well over on our Frat House Sports Facebook page. We'll put that up over there as well. All right, let's get back, or let's try to get back at least for the last half hour or so here, a little bit back to the agenda that we had going. And that was basically talking about, well, we'll jump now into the Sprint Cup series and talk a little bit about the chase going on there and the fact that we've got chase race number 4 coming up here tomorrow in Charlotte, as we pointed out. Hopefully it's going to take place. Christian seems to feel that it probably will. Before we brought you in, Christian, Brandon and I were sitting here and trying to, you know, not seriously, but kind of semi-seriously handicap the field of 12 that we've got going into the Sprint Cup series, the field of 12 as we know it. And who might be the next 4 to get kind of cut out of there, you know, as we get past, you know, as we conclude on race 6, who will be the 4 that would be cut out of the field of 12? And I had suggested Carl Edwards, Austin Dillon, Jimmy Johnson, Joey Logano would be the next 4. Brandon had said Kenseth, Logano, Kurt Busch, and I think you settled on Carl Edwards as well.
Yep.
Any thoughts, Christian, on how would you handicap it?
This year's chase has been very unpredictable because at the beginning of the chase, I would not have thought that Truex would have 2 wins by this time. I also feel that Carl Larson would still be in the hunt for the championship, but as we know, he's not due to battery issues really last week. And I feel like you're going to see a lot of surprises in this next round. One person I say that will definitely move on, and I'm hoping that moves on, is Austin Dillon. I really feel that he'll move on to the next round. But I think your shocking one that will probably fall out of this round, and I honestly would not be surprised if Kyle Busch fell out of the top 12.
Wow.
My four to be eliminated would be Kyle Busch. You definitely got to go with Kurt Busch, because Kurt Busch has not had the speed in the past few weeks, and he's had the consistency to move on to the next round. But in this round, winning is a little bit more important, and you really need to be in the top five. And the reason I say Austin Dillon will be moving on is because Austin Dillon has done very well at Talladega. And Talladega is the final race of this chase.
Yeah,
and
good one.
I almost say, fans, you're going to see the number three return to victory lane at Talladega.
Wow. That's actually not that far-fetched. I kind of could see that happening.
Well, I mean, I could have went with Michael McDowell like I normally do.
Bah, Michael McDowell always runs well at restrictor plate track.
And he's run well there. So yeah. I'm saying he finishes second.
Oh, there you go.
I got to give him one of those.
He can be the drafting. He can be Austin Dillon's drafting partner.
Yep. But I got Kurt Busch, Kyle Busch. Denny Hamlin, I think, will make it to the next round. Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano, I'm pretty sure will make the next round. With Kansas coming up and Joey Logano having the success he's had at the next three racetracks, I think he's certainly a lock for the next round. I do not know if Truex will remain as the hot seat as he has in the first round. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be eliminated, but I'm going to say he's going to be relatively close to the line. Now, he could come in tomorrow night and dominate Charlotte like he did in May, but I see it being close for him moving on to the next round.
He won that race in May.
Yeah, I was at that race.
Yep.
That's a long race.
And didn't he lead more laps of the 600 than anybody ever
than
did
anyone.
Before?
I think so. I think he led all but 10 laps, I think.
Yeah. And
oh,
that was just for pit stop changes, you know, where they, you know,
green flag pit stops.
Yeah, right. That's what I meant. Yeah, he is, you know, when Fred House Mike and I were starting to talk about it, I kind of said, you know, you got, if you count Truex as a quasi Gibbs car, you got five of them. The odds of getting five into the round of eight are slim, but you know, I don't see Truex slowing down. I mean, I'm a big fan of momentum in racing. Because when you got things going in your favor, and it just seems to, you know, one week carries into the next week, you know what I mean? And I don't see that team slowing down. But by the same token, that's why I agree with you wholeheartedly on Kurt Busch. They have no momentum right now. That team's just like stuck in the mud somewhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, you know, guys like, you know, Harvick's got a little momentum going. Austin Dillon definitely does. I think Chase Elliott definitely does. I could see Jimmy Johnson leaving this before Chase Elliott. I'll be honest with you. You know,
the one thing that's making a lot of people cheer for Austin Dillon is the last 2 weeks NASCAR has interviewed him on NBC, and he has had the same thing to say every week. He just wanted to thank God for the opportunity and thank God for this and moving on to the next round. And I think that's appealing to a lot of the fans now. I know there's a lot of my friends and a lot of the people that view my blog that really comment on the fact that he says, thank God. He shows his appreciation to God for getting him here, because without God, nobody would be here, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like, and I think that's one thing that's really a drawing attention to him from the fans.
All right, so let's see. Right now, Christian, I got you down for Kyle Busch, Kurt Busch. You got two more.
Kevin Harvick.
Wow.
You think Harvick's out of there? For he doesn't make
Harvick,
the eight.
I think Harvick will enter Talladega in a must-win situation as the same as some particular driver who's been entered at Talladega with a must-win situation in the past. Not saying any names, because
well,
that name's been brought up too much in the past 2 weeks.
Well, wait a minute. Now you got me curious. Who are you talking about?
He just made his return. His fill-in driver is starting second tomorrow night. That's Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Oh, Junior. Okay.
I think Harvick will enter the same way Junior has entered Talladega in a must-win situation, and I don't think he'll get it done. I have a feeling Talladega will be the wreck fest it was in May, probably worse.
Oh, boy. All right. So I got you down for Harvick. All right. And we got one more.
My fourth driver that I'm going to have eliminated will be Jimmy Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about that? Well, there's two of us that are.
Well, you know what I find funny about all of our sets here? Every one of us has Chase Elliott moving on.
Isn't that?
He just has that look about him.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Bill look to him.
Since we're going over this, Fred asked Mike, just as we were ending up, our loyal listener Liz put her four in the chat room.
Go ahead, let's hear her.
I'll share you with him quick. She has Austin Dillon leaving with Denny Hamlin, Carl Edwards, and Joey Logano
Let me write them down here. Dillon, what did she else she say?
Dillon, Denny Hamlin. Carl Edwards.
Edwards, okay.
And Joey Logano.
Okay, so she's in agreement with you and I, Brandon, on at least three of them, it sounds like. Edwards and...
Yeah,
and
the only one of hers I really don't agree with is Austin Dillon. Like I said, I'm a big fan of momentum, and that team certainly has it. I mean, I know it's hard to say that because Childress Racing as a whole really has been pretty quiet most of this year, but the last few weeks he has just been running so much better. And, you know... this is the time of year to get hot, that's for sure. So, and Christian's, you know, right on. I mean, that three car in Childress has always been a restrictor plate, you know, master, that team that, you know, over the years, I mean, a lot of it goes back to Dale Earnhardt Sr., but, you know, they've continued to run really well at the restrictor plate track. So, you know, that could be the moment, you know, that Austin Dillon cracks victory lane. And I would not be stunned if Chase Elliott, you know, gets a win in the chase at some point. I don't know where, but,
yeah,
you know,
it wouldn't
shock me.
I'm going to tell you right now, I got a gut feeling about Chase Elliott that he absolutely makes it into the, I guess, you know, hey, you know, pardon my borrowing of an NCAA term. He will make it into the Elite Eight. Now, does he make it to the Final Four? You know, but I think he definitely makes it into the Elite Eight. I don't know. It's just a gut feeling on my part. And he might very well get a win. In fact, I'll tip my hand here a little bit. I've got three out of five of us who have made our picks right now for our Eat My Dust picks for this week. And one of the three of us has got Chase Elliott winning this weekend, winning tomorrow night. So,
well, I can lead you a little tip that it's probably going to be two of us. Because that's who I decided on when I was looking at the things earlier. So,
All right. Listen, now we're going here tomorrow to Charlotte. And as I pointed out, Martin Truex won this race back in the springtime, right?
In
what
May.
Are you talking? May. It was the end of May, actually. It was
Memorial Day weekend.
It was Memorial Day weekend, is right. So, I'm looking at we got an interesting qualifying lineup. And God knows, I am so thrilled that they were able to get qualifying in and that we didn't go by the stinking standings, because God, I hate that. Kevin Harvick has got the poll on this one. Alex Bowman, and even Brandon, you expressed a little bit of shock at that one. Alex Bowman getting the second spot. Chase Elliott, we've only been talking about him here for the past 30 minutes. Chase Elliott, number three. Kyle Busch, number four. Tony Stewart, number five. AJ Allmendinger, number six. Truex coming in at seven. Carl Edwards at eight. Denny Hamlin at nine. Joey Logano at 10. Jimmy Johnson at 11. We know this much about Charlotte. 57% of the time, winners come out of this race are in the top five. 84% of the time, they're in the top 15. What can we expect? What do you think? What can we expect coming out of Charlotte tomorrow, guys? First of all, any thoughts on Alex Bowman? Any thoughts on Chase Elliott's run here? Any thoughts on Carl Edwards' run here? We'll pull a few names out of the hat, you know.
Well, I got an interesting observation for you for
yes.
a change. It's not all Toyotas at the front. You got five out of the six are Chevys. You only have one of the Toyotas up there, and that's Kyle Busch in fourth. You got,
correct.
You know, Chevys with Harvick, Bowman, Elliott, Stewart, Allmendinger, the top. Of the top six, you got five Chevrolets. So for a change, it's not a Toyota domination. You know, the one manufacturer is kind of lacking is you don't see a Ford until you get it all the way down to 10th.
So in other words, you're telling me the TRD spokesman won't be in, don't expect the TRD spokesman in victory lane this week.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, it's still a 500 mile race and, you know, you cannot eliminate Truex after that performance in May. I'm sorry.
I'm looking at the list. Well, I agree with you. I'm looking at the list of multi-winners here at Charlotte. Jimmy Johnson's won seven times. Casey Kane's won four times. Harvick's won three. Both Kenseth and McMurray have won twice. You don't have many Toyotas in that list either, Brandon. So maybe this is just not a good track for the Toyota drivers. Maybe that's what it is.
I don't know about that. I mean,
well, I'm just an observation on my part. I mean, you're making an observation. I'm just pointing out the statistics and the facts about it. That's all. Alex Bowman. Any thoughts on Alex Bowman, guys? That's kind of neat, isn't it?
Top five.
Oh, you think so?
I think a top five.
That would be awesome. I mean, I'd love to see him do it.
I think
that
would be terrific.
The only problem is NBCSN would not give him any television time.
Really?
Didn't anybody notice that Ryan Blaney finished fourth at Chicagoland and they never interviewed him?
No, I didn't notice that, but yeah, wow. Why is that,
okay.
I wonder?
So
the chasers
so
are the only ones that matter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I hear you.
Oh,
saying,
is
yeah.
Is that what the deal?
Other
is
drivers' oh, yeah, lives matter.
Yeah. Oh, God. I don't think a Colin Kaepernick situation would apply to NASCAR race. I hate to say.
Second time tonight, Christian. My gosh, we're gonna lose you after tonight for the rest of the season. This isn't right. You're just getting going.
I got to go out with a bang.
You're just getting going.
That's funny when you say that because, you know, if you make a comparison to the NFL and the Colin Kaepernick thing, that would not fly to NASCAR race. I'm sorry.
You get murdered.
He'd be lucky to leave the track in one piece.
If the driver did it, it'd be the most hated driver in NASCAR.
Oh, they would. The track would
they would throw beer cans
wouldn't be
at
able
him.
To race. Yeah, you wouldn't be able to race.
They'd Joey Logano it.
Yep.
Throw
yeah, that would not
him.
Fly. Not in NASCAR. Not in this too much pride in country and God with the, you know, as you pointed out, Austin Dillon's winning lots of fans. That's always been a staple in NASCAR, you know, with the motorsports outreach and all that. That would not fly. There would not be a Colin Kaepernick in NASCAR.
No, my God, you know, and I didn't get into it, you know, but back when all that started, there were drivers that came out and spoke about it. And
oh, yeah.
I thought to myself, you know something, there's too many more, with all due respect, and I'm not discounting any of it, but there's important on track issues to be discussing on our limited 90-minute program.
Right.
And not getting into, you know, how drivers are, you know, what their opinions are, you know, about, yeah, I mean, there's important things like Oreo cookies. That's important stuff. Now, come on.
Well, I'll be honest with you. You know, I think I've thought all along the whole thing was misguided from the beginning. I don't see what the national anthem has anything to do with
the
how
issue.
police treat African Americans. So, you know, I thought the whole thing was misguided to begin with in the first place. So, you know, it just certain things don't cross over, and that wouldn't fly in this sport like it does in football. The tolerance of it would not fly. There would be outrage. Beyond outrage.
I got less than 10 minutes here remaining
for tonight's
program. So let me do this because I want to stick with Charlotte for just one more second here. This was a question I asked a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to bring it back up here. You know, I talked about a little bit about the fact that, you know, we're going into chase race number 4, which means that in many respects, there's kind of a little bit of a lack of urgency on this one, because look, you can probably not do too well here as a chaser, but still be able to rebound because you got 2 more races there after the fact to make the cut. Could we see a non-chaser win a race in the remaining 7?
I think it's possible. I don't think this track is one of them.
Okay.
Because I think you're going to see probably, unless, you know, Alex Bowman pulls some, you know, magic out of his hat or something, you're going to probably see a chaser, Truex, Harvick, Jimmy Johnson even. You know, this is Chase Elliott's absolutely not out of the question. You're going to probably see a chase racer win this race. But I don't think it's out of the question that a Ryan Blaney could pull a win. You know, maybe even, I don't know if you count, Kyle Larson, who was just eliminated as a non-chaser. But I think Kyle Larson could certainly win. That team's been on an upstroke. Maybe even Jamie McMurray. Maybe Jamie McMurray this week. He has run well here in the past, but he's not qualified too well here. So, you know, it's not out of the question, but I don't think this race. That's just my opinion.
Well, the interesting reason I asked the question is because I'm looking down the qualifying list, and you got somebody like Tony Stewart, who is listed there as number 5, who is now a non-chaser because of last week's result. And I'm looking at Tony Stewart, and Tony Stewart has won here once before. And I'm saying, okay, hey, you know, it wouldn't, and you know, you're bringing up Brandon, I think very, very astutely, we don't have Toyotas on parade at the top of the lineup here. 5 out of the top 6 are Chevys. So,
and Stewart's among them.
Exactly. So, you know, could Tony Stewart pull one off here and be a non-chaser winning a race that basically, as I pointed out, hey, even the chasers would sit there and go, hey, we can afford to lose this one. It doesn't matter.
Well, I don't think anybody wants to have a bad finish.
Because you don't want to go into Kansas in a must-win situation, and then you don't want to set yourself up going into a must-win situation at Talladega.
Right, yeah. Nobody wants to have a bad race. But, you know, if you're running amongst the top 10, I don't think you're not going to put yourself in a position. You know, you're not going to run yourself out of gas. You're not going to, you know, put yourself in a 3-wide at the wrong part of the track. You're not going to do that. But I don't know that a chaser, you know, if a chaser goes out there and blows an engine 50 laps into it, and he's not going to be very pleased, even though it is the first race of the chase. Because you don't want to be in that much of a hole to start. That's sometimes that's too much to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. You know, maybe some caution to a point. There's not the desperation of a must win yet, but at the same token, you don't want to find yourself behind the eight ball too soon. You know what I mean?
No.
So it's kind of like a compromise. Let me say it that way.
I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But at the same time, you know, it's in some respects, it's kind of a, you know, maybe I'm going back to my initial concept that I was talking about, and you were even saying, Brandon, well, you know, come on, Mike, you know, even you don't really operate that way, but it's the layup mentality. I can lay up a little.
They're
bit.
They're not laying. No, absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah.
No layup.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
with
yeah.
only three races. There's no room for it. Not there's not room for error if that turns into a disaster. You know what I mean? You can't control if you have a mechanical failure or you get caught up in somebody else's accident, but you're not going to put yourself at peril, you know, but you're certainly not going to lay up. You know what I mean? There's,
mm-hmm.
there's gotta be a, you know, there's gotta be some compromise, but not to that level. I don't think.
Mm-hmm. I got you. All right. All right, let me do this since we only have just a handful of minutes here remaining. Let me get around and take a look at who we think might actually win this. This has been a little contest we've been playing all season long amongst ourselves and with two of our loyal listeners, NASCAR John and with loyal listener Liz. Current standings right now, we've got NASCAR John up at the top at 910 points, and then Sidekicks coming in there at 900. And then, as I pointed out last week, it then becomes a race for who's going to be third. And Brandon, you and I are tied at 785, and then loyal listener Liz is coming in at 766. All right, I got the we're not going to have Sidekicks picks, so everybody's going to have to get over to our Frat House Sports Facebook page. That's what you're going to want to do. Frat House Sports, leave spaces in between. Look for our little purple icon and give us a like there. And then you'll be able to get the actual picks and what have you. But NASCAR John is picking for tomorrow. He's picking who Brandon, myself, and Liz picked last week. He's picking Kyle Busch to win tomorrow. Brandon, who are you going with?
I'm going to go with that Chase Elliott.
I
just think that team's on a hot streak. I think that team, you know, they're you know, I like it. I mean, it's hard to discount, you know, Truex after that performance, but I'm liking what I see out of Chase Elliott.
All right. Christian, let's give you a shot here. Who do you think is going to win this one tomorrow?
Driving the number two car.
Matty Benedetto.
Brad Keselowski.
Oh, there you go. Chaser.
All right. I wrote it down here, and we'll include that in our post that I put out there. By the way, I'll point this one out, Brandon. You are sharing your Elliott pick along with loyal listener Liz.
Cool.
Who also picked Chase Elliott. I am going to go with Kevin Harvick. I'm going to go with Kevin Harvick. Now, I don't normally pick Kevin Harvick ever in our Eat My Dust picks, but I'm going to do it right now because I want to get out of this tie. All right? There we go. Let me do a quick reminder to everybody. Please be here with me tomorrow afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern time for another Relaxed Frat House Saturday program. I'll be bringing you some of the best, and I can tell you right now there will be a clip or so absolutely from this particular program. You can guarantee it. Many thanks to Christian Coley, who has joined us here every Friday evening that we have done a program of the Race Radio Motorsports Hour. Christian, thank you very, very much. We appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Make sure you get over and you like his Facebook page, the Motorsports News Source. And check that website out as well, the Motorsports News Source. Christian puts up some terrific, terrific information every single week. Many thanks as well to Mike Dove from the Motorsports Group, who jumped in here with us extemporaneously to talk a little bit about Josh Wise and his team. Many thanks to all of you. And listen, make sure you're joining me here tomorrow afternoon, 2 p.m. It'll be relaxed. It'll be fun. It'll be another frat house Saturday. That's what it'll be. Thanks very much, folks.